It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent. As Vice President Kamala Harris works to become the Democratic nominee after President Joe Biden ended his campaign, one of the VP's first stops was in Wisconsin.
As many of you know, our state campaign headquarters are in this city. Yes, and that there is a reason for that. The path to the White House goes through Wisconsin.
That's Kamala Harris speaking in West Allis on Tuesday. It was her fifth visit to Wisconsin this year.
Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan joins us now for a look at the change at the top of his party's ticket. He represents the state's second district, including Madison and parts of South Central Wisconsin. Representative Pocan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. President Biden made this announcement on Sunday. He's out of the race. 2 days before that, you had called on Biden to end his reelection campaign. You had supported him staying in the race before that, appeared with him on stage. What made you change your mind?
Yeah, no, I think, unfortunately, perception was becoming reality. There was a perception from the debate that people didn't like either candidate. And I heard it hundreds of times over the few weeks that ensued. And it was very clear that, unfortunately, that perception wasn't changing. The good news is Kamala Harris has completely changed that perception. And now with her on the ticket, we're seeing a renewed interest and energy that hadn't existed. And, you know, looking at Milwaukee in 24 hours, 3,000 people, that's what we need to win in Wisconsin and win across the country. And I think Kamala Harris is going to be able to deliver that.
You joined a long list of elected Democrats endorsing Vice President Harris in the Democratic post-primary, I guess. For Wisconsin voters, what do you see making her a good candidate for president?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, she was part of the Biden-Harris administration that got us out of COVID, that's got the economy going super strong right now for people. And she has those accomplishments, but more importantly, I mean, she on her own, you know, a former DA of a major city in California, former attorney general for California, former U.S. senator from California. She has the experience as vice president to hit the ground running. And with the value set that she and Joe Biden brought, in addition to the energy and a forward looking agenda, I mean, the contrast to Donald Trump, don't forget, people didn't like the two candidates on the debate. They thought they both were too old and out of touch. One of those candidates still exists. That's Donald Trump. And I think that contrast is exactly what we need for this country and certainly for a swing state like Wisconsin.
Why not have different candidates make their case, take it to the delegates who have been elected, have a process to sift and winnow, as we say in Wisconsin, figure out the best candidate at the convention?
There is just that. Right now, they're opening up a process. Anyone who wants to run is able to. But I think what you're seeing is just a strong coalescing around the vice president. So there is exactly that. There's, you know, there's a lot of misinformation put out by the Republicans claiming that this is something other than what it is. I just think you're finding other people are saying no. You know, in 3 or 4 weeks to the convention, we are in the best position with the current vice president. Let's do this and get it done and make sure that Donald Trump is not president. The rest is just myth and falsehoods.
Wisconsin, close state in presidential elections. 2016, Hillary Clinton loses to Donald Trump by less than 23,000 votes. 2020, Joe Biden wins by a slightly narrower margin than that. What do you want to see from this national campaign here in Wisconsin to potentially squeak out a win?
Well, keep doing what they're doing, right? Keep coming to the state and showing that it's a priority. That is really important, showing up, right? That's like a basic life lesson. And then talking about those core, you know, kitchen table economic issues. You know, most people are trying to make sure they can afford their rent or mortgage. They have health insurance for their family. They can maybe take a family vacation. You know, those are the core issues that people want to talk about in states like Wisconsin. And I think those core economic issues have been at the center of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been talking about. So having her continue to do that, show up, I think that's the very strongest we can do in, as you know, a very, very purple state. I doubt anyone is going to have the name landslide in front of their name post the November election in Wisconsin.
Kamala Harris, first woman to serve as vice president in the United States, would be the first woman to be president. Do you see a role of gender in this campaign, for better or worse, as the next few months go on?
Well, I mean, I think absolutely. This country, the elected officials should represent the country. A majority of the country are women, for one, and we've never had a female president. That just stands out. I think, though, what's reprehensible is watching Republicans, especially here in Congress, using this terrible, she's a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. She's a former DA of a major city, a former attorney general, former U.S. senator, and the current vice president. That is a serious resume. And for the racism that Republicans are using right now on this, shame on them. And I hope it backfires. I believe in the people of Wisconsin that they're not going to fall for that kind of misinformation. And, I really think that their desperation is showing. I mean, I can't wait till she debates Donald Trump. To say that she will chew him up and spit him out is only saying it very lightly. And that's why he's right now maybe afraid to debate. Look, we have a totally qualified person running. And whether it's because she's a woman, whether it's because she's a senator, whether it's because she's a former attorney general, whatever reason, she is eminently qualified to be president of the United States.
You mentioned your congressional colleagues. Here's one of them from the Wisconsin delegation, Representative Glenn Grothman. He told WDJT-TV in Milwaukee that Harris would be a tougher opponent to beat than Joe Biden. And he also said this.
I know there are some Democrats who don't like her. And she has the obvious weakness at the border, as well as she hasn't been the most articulate candidate so far. But apparently they feel, or a lot of Democrats feel, they have to stick with her because of her ethnic background. And so I'm sure there's some division there on that issue.
So that was to the point you made earlier, Representative Grothman saying Democrats are stuck with her, in effect, he says, because of her ethnic background.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows, again, that unfortunately a lot of Republicans are out of touch on this. I'm very confident that when you have side by side, if we can get them to be side by side, what we saw in Donald Trump in that debate, people didn't want a continuation. Look, that was like that debate was a bad black and white rerun episode, right? People didn't want a race between two people that they didn't have confidence in at that point. And now we have this new spinoff. We have a candidate that has the energy and the ability to lead us in a new direction. I think when you have that contrast, it's going to stand out. But all this other stuff that's kind of rhetoric, maybe it's just because they don't understand. Maybe it's because they're intentionally trying to mislead. But again, I trust the American people. I think we're way smarter than Republicans think they are.
Talking to Representative Mark Pocan, congressional Democrat from Wisconsin, about the change at the top of the Democratic ticket for president. Representative Pocan, we also heard there from Representative Grothman saying Vice President Harris weak on border issues. This is something we're hearing a lot from Republicans. She had been tapped as somebody who would lead some of the Biden administration border and immigration efforts. Is there a case to be made there?
This is the greatest misinformation. Today, we are voting on something condemning her as the border czar. One, she was never there's no border czar title, right? This is complete misinformation. What she was assigned to do, and she's done quite well, is address the root cause of why people are coming here, specifically three countries where we are seeing the greatest migration. And she got a bunch of private capital to go back to those countries to help people have jobs so they don't have to leave. And she has succeeded on that. And the migration from those three countries is down. So what she actually was assigned to, she did quite well. Look, the border has been a problem for Democratic and Republican presidents going back probably a couple decades, and Congress needs to act. We tried to this fall. There was a bipartisan bill in the Senate. Donald Trump said, no, don't pass it. I want this as an election issue. And the Republicans refused to pass a bill that would have had extra protections at the borders. They've shown their disingenuousness on this. Let's just remember they're having a bit of a problem telling the truth when it comes to policy in the border.
President Biden spoke last night from the Oval Office explaining his decision to leave the race. Your thoughts on what we heard from the president?
We owe him a debt of gratitude. It's unfortunate that he got to be president very late in life. And, the first 2 years when he had a Democratic Congress and Senate, we did four of the biggest bills I've ever seen in my time in Congress, all done in a 2-year period. He has a tremendously successful presidency. Unfortunately, the perception was that he was too old and that he had slowed down. And because of that, he wasn't doing well in the polls. We had two older Americans running, he and Donald Trump, but that was the perception that was out there. The president recognized that. He put his country above his own ambition, which in Washington is almost non-existent, and did the right thing. And, I have nothing but respect for Joe Biden. And now we have an opportunity to have the debate be about issues in the future of the country, not lost on what, some people were talking about the president's age.
A lot of talk about a potential running mate for a likely Kamala Harris presidential campaign. What are you looking for in a running mate?
I just want someone that can talk to the upper Midwest. I still think Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania are key to whoever's the next president, and talk about those, as I said, kitchen table economic issues that real people talk about, and you'll do well. So a number of the names that have been presented, I think, would be excellent and do just that. And then, of course, show up. Make it so that we have to question whether or not you're a resident of Wisconsin for tax purposes because you're showing up so often. That is a successful way of campaigning in our state, and that's my recommendations.
Briefly, in a statement, you called on former President Donald Trump to drop out of the race for Republicans to pressure him. Really, or are you just kind of trolling there?
I think that they should have to look at, that debate, right? All the polling said people didn't like either candidate. There's even a category called double haters that I've never heard before. They didn't like either candidate that was polling, unfortunately, very highly. He still exists. He is still the same Donald Trump. He is still would be the oldest president ever to serve. And I would say the most out of touch president as well. So I think, at some point, they have to have a question, because I think you're going to see Kamala Harris keep going up in the polls. I've seen some really great momentum already just since the announcement of her trying to get the nomination. So, I'm sure they're having a lot of meetings right now. And the fact that Donald Trump is starting to say he may not debate just tells you how afraid they really are.
Representative Pocan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Mark Pocan, Democratic Congressional Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd District.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, a new legislative committee studies the future of the universities of Wisconsin.
We need to, as a state, come to a place of solidarity where we see that the university system has the ability to transform the culture in our state.
That's next on WPR News. This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A new committee has been created by the state legislature to talk about the future of the universities of Wisconsin.
The committee includes 4 lawmakers and 14 other members, and they are planned to meet several times this year before issuing their recommendations.
Earlier this month, the committee met for the first time to go over some of their key topics and set their agenda.
We spoke with 2 committee members last week to learn about what's at stake for UW schools. Later, we'll hear from Shauna Freilich, an associate teaching professor in the communication department at UW Green Bay. But first, we speak with Democratic State Senator Chris Larson, who represents District 7 in Milwaukee and is one of 4 lawmakers on the committee. Senator Larson, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Lee. Happy to be here.
Let's start with a brief background. What are these legislative committees, and what were the reasons behind forming this legislative study committee on the future of the UW?
So legislative study committees have been around for a while. They're just set up outside the scope of regular committees, which are made up of legislators during the legislative session, to try and tackle bigger problems. They usually have people from outside the legislature, experts in the field of study, and they are brought up in terms of nominations. So ideas are put forward. Whatever party is in the majority is the one that decides which ones to pursue. So even though their goal is to try and have a larger goal, to achieve a larger goal, engender deeper discussions on things, if you have a single party control of the legislature, they can still have a partisan bent to them. But ideally, historically, they're meant to try and avoid that.
So let's talk a little bit about the makeup of this committee. There are four lawmakers, two Republicans and two Democrats, which includes yourself, and 14 other members. What do we know about how these members were selected, Senator?
We don't know a lot. All we know is that nominations were put in. There was applications put in to serve on this committee. We have not gotten a full list of who applied and who was accepted, but it's decided by a small group of folks who are within leadership. And again, you know, with our gerrymandered state, that is under Republican control. So of those 14 members, you have zero students. You know, suffice it to say, I'm not a good an exact judge of age, but I don't know if we have anybody on the committee who's under the age of 30. It strikes me as odd that we don't have anybody who's actually actively a student within the university system. You know, get out there and talk about what they actually are seeing and what they are believing and what they are finding value in our university system, while the other 18 of us talk around that very topic.
Senator Larson, as a member of this committee, do you think the committee represents the stakeholders in this UW system?
I think it represents part of the stakeholders, but it does not, unfortunately, represent the students, right? And if we are talking around the goal of this, which is supposed to be about workforce planning and student demand for specific areas of study, I think it does strike me as odd that we don't have as many professors on there or students who are actually there talking and interfacing with the university. So if we're going to come up with an outcome to be able to get direct input as to what value students are looking for, or better yet, you know, students, prospective students who opted not to attend the university at all, whether they went to a different institution or whether they saw the cost, the sticker shock was enough for them, and they decided to forego higher education altogether, which is not an uncommon path young people are taking.
Senator Chris Larson, our guest, he is one of the 18-member Legislative Study Committee on the Future of the UW. And Senator Larson, you told the Capital Times recently that this study committee, quote, may already be a farce before it starts. What did you mean by that? And what are some of your concerns about this committee going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a number. I've served in higher education and education in general for most of the time that I've been a legislator, and that's totaling over 13 years now. And we've had a number of different committees like this, going over the details of what's going on within our universities. And one of them strikes me in particular, which was the Roger Roth was the chair of the Colleges and Universities Committee, and he came out with a very slanted report that called for shuttering a lot of institutions across the state and shifting, you know, spinning off the UW-Madison. And it seems that that has been something that the business community has kind of revolved around. They have not been friendly to the Wisconsin idea, or frankly, of being able to have that exploration of the mind that the university system was set up as, you know, not just to be able to say, let's churn out some folks to be able to work in our community, but to be able to say, well, what are the things facing society? What are the things facing our community, our government? And what is the best way to be able to tackle those, right? And be able to expand a person's mind, and then to be able to come up with solutions to that. You know, that's something of great value, I do think. And given that there's been a history of trying to shutter and shut down and consolidate our universities, I do feel that given the way that the folks who are on this committee, it's kind of stacked in that direction. I will say, I don't want to preempt your next question, but I will say the first meeting was kind of hopeful that there was a lot of folks who, you know, they didn't, that there was some, of course, who were narrowed in on that specific goal. But for the most part, you know, people seemed really open-minded. So that was a breath of fresh air. So I go into the next meeting very hopeful that if people continue to stay on that track and be open-minded, that we can actually engage in a conversation about what we should do with our universities.
Senator Larson, you talked about some skepticism about this committee of which you were a part at the outset. But if you were, and you've also talked about some optimistic potential here, what would you like to see come from this committee as you're scheduled to meet, I think, five times before the end of this year? As this committee wraps up its work, what would you like to see come out of it?
I mean, honestly, I would really like to see the UW system continue to be a beacon for the rest of the country. I think of Wisconsin when I travel across the country or anywhere else, that this is one of the things that we advertise, that we are as Wisconsinites, right? They know we like cheese. they, you know, if they like football, they know we love the Packers. Don't bother us on Sundays. And we love our outdoors, but our college, you know, this is our calling card to be able to say, you know, this is one of the pillars that holds us up higher than the rest of the country, that we value the Wisconsin idea, the challenging of ideas, and to be able to push to new frontiers. And I would hope that we would do that for this next century and to be able to adjust as needed. I would hope that we would continue to try and be that calling beacon, not just for the state, but across the country, to call people here to be able to pursue their passions, to be able to develop ideas that are going to shape our country and shape our planet. You know, this is the state. Our universities is the proving ground where Social Security started, right? The grand plans that FDR came up with for the New Deal started at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where those professors moved on to his administration. That and nothing less than that is my hope for what we can come up with this university's study committee.
Hey, Senator Larson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for bringing attention to this. Have a good one, Lee.
That was State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee, one of four of the lawmakers on the Legislative Study Committee looking into the future of the universities of Wisconsin. Now, we also spoke with Professor Shauna Frelick last week. She's an associate teaching professor in the Department of Communication at UW-Green Bay. And Professor Frelick, thank you for being here.
Oh, this is my privilege. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, and let's start with why it was important to you to become a part of this committee on the future of the UW.
Yeah, so I have been in higher education for over 18 years, and I have spent over 10 years teaching at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. I love my work. I love the students. The ability to engage and make an impact is quite a calling, and I really believe it's an honor to have this opportunity to teach. And with the changing that we have going on in higher ed and the opportunity to help be part of a transformative work where the hard work of democracy is done and having difficult conversations, I welcome that opportunity. If I can be a voice that supports students, that supports, you know, the smaller institutions that are not Madison at this point. I was eager and excited to be a part of this.
But this committee has only three professors of the 18 members on it, two from UW-Madison and you representing UW-Green Bay. In your mind, is this enough of campus representation? And who else would you like to see on this committee if you were to choose?
You know, I would say that in order for the university system to move forward, there needs to be collaboration. And I can say the committee is full of brilliant men and women who represent, you know, everything from the legislative system to the administration. Would it be good to have more faculty? Possibly, yes. Probably pulling from other universities. Because the faculty, they're at the lowest level of system and they see and know the issues firsthand. They might not have the data and that, you know, higher administration has, but they have the stories, they have the anecdotes, they have the examples of currently what is happening that would possibly help propel the conversation forward in imagining what does the UW system need to transform into.
Professor Frelich, what are the issues, the big issues you've been seeing at UW-Green Bay that you are hoping that this Committee on the Future of the UW will take seriously?
Well, there are a number of issues, and I guess what I would say from my perspective, if I were to name three issues that I think are important to look at, the first is just that the higher ed landscape is changing. We have lower enrollments, difficulty with retention, a change in our student who is coming to college. Student readiness is down. And with that, there are quite a bit of support structures and administrative structures to support students under urban access. But the student is changing. And so I think that's something that needs to be looked at. The second, I would say, can be around, for myself, seeing the oversaturation of universities across the country in our state, both public and private. And so I don't think this is a conversation the committee is having that one should hold with fear, but really hold with anticipation for the opportunity to bring change and talk about what does this look like if we have lower enrollment and we have demographic changes that are coming our way that we don't have any control over as far as students that will be entering into the university function. And then finally, I would say, as a professor in communication, I teach communication law, which is all about free speech and the First Amendment. I also teach public address, which is near and dear to me because it's one's opportunity to exercise free speech. And what I see quite often is fear among students and among faculty in being able to exercise their ability to freely speak.
Professor Frelich, our guest from UW-Green Bay, she is one of 18 members of the Legislative Study Committee on the Future of the Universities of Wisconsin. And I want to ask you more about the student perspective here, Professor Frelich. When you think about your students, considering none of them are on the committee, you have alumni on the committee, but no current students or prospective students, what do you think they would consider the top priorities for this committee?
Well, I spoke on it, actually. I think many students would say, please do not raise our tuition. That would be one issue that they would mention. Many of my students are hardworking, and they're still unable, despite working all summer and in the school year, are unable to make tuition and housing out of pocket, and so they're taking out student loans. And so I would say that's a concern. I would also say another concern that students have raised to me, sidebar conversations, are concerns around free speech. Can I offer and hold my views if I'm not a majority individual speaking on campus? Is it safe for me to share my beliefs? Do I have the liberty for that? I would say many students that I work with would probably raise that as a concern as well.
Professor, what are you hoping to see come from this committee?
We need to, as a state, come to a place of solidarity where we see that the university system has the ability to transform culture and transform the culture in our state. And if this committee can stay with that common ground and work together, then we can propel that Wisconsin idea. And we can see collectively the flourishing that both sides of our political system want to see. We want to see Wisconsin system grow stronger, stay viable. We want to see our knowledge shared and applied beyond campus. And we want to see human beings that fall in every spectrum, whether it's first generation or third generation, whether they're straight or LGBTQ, whatever nationality one might have, or color of their skin. We want to see all of our students flourish and grow and then give back to our state and to the community that we live in. And I guess, you know, that for me is honestly why I am on this committee, is hoping that we can propose and help bring transformative thought and collaborate and really seek to understand what is currently going on. And one of the committee members, and many, are going to continue to ask for the university system to show data, to bring the facts that are needed to the table, so we can look at numbers and we can really assess at a deeper level what is going on, so that when there is a proposal, that it's founded in fact and not fear, and that you have many minds collaborating and looking at the issues together.
Hey, Professor Frelich, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to see how this work continues to evolve at the committee level.
We've been talking about the new Legislative Committee on the Future of the Universities of Wisconsin with State Senator Chris Larson from District 7 in Milwaukee and Shauna Frelich, an associate teaching professor in the Department of Communication at UW-Green Bay. The committee is expected to meet several more times before this year's end. And for full disclosure, WPR staff are employees of UW-Madison.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, State Fair is just around the corner. That means it's time for State Fair food.
So it's those hash brown potatoes with some infused beer cheese and brats mixed in, and they put it like in a little muffin tin.
Get a preview. Get hungry. Coming up on Wisconsin Today. This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent. The 2024 Olympics start tomorrow in Paris, and Wisconsin sent a contingent of athletes to the Games.
Margarita Guzzi-Vincenti is a fencer who lives in Heartland. WPR's Margaret Faust traveled to her gym to see how she was preparing for the Olympic Games.
Alto final action, l'attaque touche. Score is 4-0. On garde, prêt. Allez.
Packed inside a gym, dozens of fencers stand ready with their blades outstretched, attacking their opponents and defending themselves. It sounds aggressive, but it's all in good fun. Every fencer is dressed the same, a protective uniform made of thick white fabric with a black mesh mask. But one athlete sticks out. Margarita Guzzi-Vincenti's mask is painted like the American flag. It signals something special, since the native Italian is competing in Paris for Team USA in two different events. To prepare, she's facing off against another athlete, Julian Spear. In this type of fencing, the weapon is an épée. Vincenti and Spear go back and forth, taking turns striking each other. When Vincenti touches Spear with her épée, she earns a point and a buzzer sounds.
And I'm very fast, so I can control the blade with the strength of my arm, but at the same time, I'm very quick and light on my feet that I can escape if you try to come at me, or I can really jump at you and surprise you with a quick attack, quick strike.
Vincenti has always been athletic. When she was growing up in Milan, Italy, she tried all kinds of sports. When she was 7, her father encouraged her to try fencing, since her great-great-uncle was an Olympic fencer. Franco Riccardi earned 3 gold medals and 1 silver between 1928 and 1936. Her dad talked to her about it over dinner one night.
you might like fencing. Give it a stab, right? No pun intended there. So I was like, well, maybe that could be the sport for me. So why not try it? And sure enough, I just fell in love with the sport, and then just the rest is history.
She rose up the ranks quickly. The Pennsylvania State University recruited her to fencing college. When she won the NCAA championship as a freshman, she was invited to the White House, where she met then-President Barack Obama.
I had a chance to speak to him and then just inquire, I would love to become an American citizen. What do you think? And he said, I would love if you became an American citizen too.
She earned her citizenship in 2019. Vincenti fell short of qualifying for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Instead, she went as an alternate. In Paris, she'll be competing as a full-fledged member of Team USA.
It feels more than an individual result, more than me going and say, oh, I'm going to the Olympics. For me, it's more like we are all going to the Olympics because everybody here in the club helped me.
That includes Abbas Fidel. He's been coaching Vincenti for years out of the Ottawa Fencing Club in Heartland. She's the fourth Olympian he's coached and the reason she moved to Wisconsin.
Her demeanor, she's so nice and so polite. But when she comes to the beast, she comes to fence, she's like a beast.
She trains 7 days a week, and that includes training sessions with Fidel. He puts on black protective padding with a weapon in each hand. Together, they move up and down the strip, working on touches and building muscle memory. Although fencing is an individual sport, the athletes at the gym support each other. Vincenti cheers on other fencers.
There you go.
She says they return the support.
Wisconsin people are so genuinely kind, and then you can just see all the love and the care and the happiness that come from their hearts.
Vincenti says she'll bring home good results for Team USA and the people of Heartland, Wisconsin.
Wow, tight, clean. There you go.
Margarita Guzzi-Vincenti first competes in fencing this Saturday. To meet more Wisconsin Olympians, head to WPR.org/Olympics. The Wisconsin State Fair is right around the corner, starting on August 1st, lasting for 11 days.
Every year, the State Fair adds a list of new food and drink options, and this year is no different, with a list of 100 new food and drink items for 2024.
Sherry Black takes us on a tour of the newest foods. Sherry is the executive director and CEO of the Wisconsin State Fair. Sherry, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I always enjoy this time of year when the big new foods of the State Fair are dropped. What, and there's a lot of them, of course. We're not going to get to all of them, but what are some of the new State Fair foods that have you excited this year?
Well, I am very excited about the beer, cheese, and brat spud muffin. So I think that, you know, emulates Wisconsin very well. It's kind of like a hash brown. So it's kind of a fun, creative take on the potato pancake. Mm. So it's those hash brown potatoes with some infused beer cheese and brats mixed in. And they put it like in a little muffin tin. And I don't know, I'm really excited to try it. I think that sounds amazing.
You had me at hash browns, brats, cheese, and beer flavor. That sounds fantastic. Now, yeah. 100 new food and drink options to try this year. How is there a process for deciding, you know, who is going to be the vendor at the fair and what some of those creative, new, exciting menu options are going to be?
We are so fortunate. We have a number of vendors that have been with us for many, many years. They actually own permanent stands out here on the grounds. And then we also have vendors that are not permanent that are great too. But they are the creative minds that come up with these new foods. And we have our Sporky's competition. So a number of them will enter that, but we can only have, you know, so many finalists, which the finals will be held next week. And then we'll promote that all on social media to share with you who the winners are. So that's really where it comes from. People are trying to get in the Sporky's competition, but then, you know, the ones that maybe didn't make it in or they didn't even enter, they just created something fun. So we're really fortunate that way.
Now, give us some more of the big, cool new food items. I mean, the one sounded great all by itself so far with the potatoes and brats. But what are some of the other exciting new additions this year?
Well, there is a funnel cake root beer battered cheese curd that I think sounds amazing. So it's white cheddar curds covered in funnel cake with a root beer batter, and then it's deep fried and topped with powdered sugar. I think that sounds pretty amazing. One item that kind of jumped out at me, I don't know that I'm going to try it, but just kind of that crazy one, bug juice. So it's green juice, and then it has ice cubes in it that have real bugs in them. So as your ice cube melts, it will release that bug into your drink. So those will all float up to the top. The rim is also dipped in caramel, and then black ants are put on top. When I first saw the picture, I thought it was cookie crumbs, but it is not. It's black ants. And then they garnish it with a scorpion.
Now, of course, we're thinking about things we eat at the state fair. We got to talk about cream puffs. And I understand this is it's amazing, the 100th anniversary of the cream puff at the state fair?
It is. Can you believe that? 100 years. This has been the signature food item of Wisconsin State Fair.
And how are you celebrating?
So we are doing some limited flavors. This has never been done before during the fair. I mean, I'm sure you recall we did some specialty cream puffs throughout the year that were more holiday themed. But for the first time, we are going to tackle this for the fair. We are offering a root beer float flavor, a raspberry cheesecake, an English toffee, and chocolate birthday cake. But there's a caveat to all of this. So you need to go on our website to look at the calendar. We have the dates of when each one is available. So like root beer float is only available August 2nd, 3rd, and then they all kind of go on from there. So I recommend doing that. The other thing is we are only selling 1,924 of these special cream puffs each day. So if there is a flavor, like let's say you really want that English toffee, and you know you need to either come August 7th, 8th, or 9th, each day you're going to want to get here early and get in line so you can be one of the lucky ones that is able to get one of those amazing cream puffs.
We are taking a tour of some of the new food and drink options at this year's State Fair and a wider look at the fair in general. Sherry Black is with us, Executive Director, CEO of the Wisconsin State Fair. Sherry, the food's a big part of the fair, of course. The hit for me and when my kids are little, we go to the State Fair. The animals, the livestock, the opportunity for people to show off everything from roosters and bunnies to cows and horses. And you grew up around livestock, I understand.
I did. Yes, I grew up on a farm in the town of Waukesha, but my grandparents' farms were in New Berlin. So my dad does about 2,000 acres in cash crop. Actually, my brother has now taken over that farm. My dad still assists. We joke, though. He's now taken second seat to the new boss. But also milked cows. So I showed dairy cattle at the Waukesha County Fair along with our pigs. And then at State Fair, I showed dairy cattle.
Can you talk a little bit about that tradition at the county fair and state fair level of having these animals on exhibition, sometimes so that the city folk who didn't grow up around the livestock get to see what it's like to be up close with them?
Yes, I have to tell you, I was actually with someone that came in for a meeting during the fair, and we were walking, and the beef steers were out. Then they were getting ready to go in the Coliseum, and we walked right by a very nice Angus, and he said, oh, he goes, I've never been this close to a cow before. And he's like in his early 50s. And I thought, are you serious? You've never been this close. I said, to a steer, cows give milk. You know, that's kind of our joke. But it was very interesting to me because obviously growing up around it, I've been around it always. So I take it for granted. But we are so fortunate that we have such great exhibitors that come in and they really embrace the questions that they're asked from our general public. And it's just a great way for people to learn about agriculture and understand truly where their food comes from and how important it is to, you know, take care of our animals and take care of the environment so that we're able to produce that food that feeds our animals and us. So we just love the opportunity to be able to educate about agriculture. And people are having so much fun, they don't even realize they're being educated.
And this is the state fair. So you've got exhibitors, not just for livestock, but for crafts and cooking and things like that from all over Wisconsin. Can you give us a sense of, you know, how much of the state is reflected in each year's state fair?
I mean, we have so many different things. There's knitting, quilting. There's people do painting, ceramics, just All sorts of items are on display, and our team does an amazing job of displaying those in the cases. So it's always fun to walk through to see where people are located, because of course it says their town, where they're from, and what they have been able to create. And then at our youth expo, we have the same thing, but they're youth. So they're involved in usually in a FFA or 4-H, or they don't need to be. Some are also after school programs. They enter their projects, and then those are put on display inside of the youth expo. And again, just so exciting to see all the different things that they have created, and the talent that they have at such a young age is truly remarkable.
Yeah. Can you talk about the fairs, county fairs and state fairs, kind of bringing up the next generation of people working in agriculture and beyond? You started there in a way, you said, exhibiting there.
I did. Definitely grew up in the fair industry. And I think that is a similar story you will hear throughout, that it's something that gets passed on from tradition, you know, different traditions. And my grandmother actually helped start a 4-H club in New Berlin and passed that on to my father. And he instilled it in my brothers and I that we would want to be in a 4-H club and be able to partake in all those different activities. And obviously it was a very positive experience for all of us. The great thing is, you know, when you're at your county fair, in order to show at state fair, you have to do well. So that gives you that pride when you come to state fair. And then we would meet so many different kids from all around the state because the exhibitors come from everywhere, and just always had so much fun. And then being able to exhibit in the big Coliseum at state fair also was a really exciting experience.
I want to bring things back around to state and county fair food, Sherry. It seems to me over the years that the food has gotten to be more and more creative, inventive, elaborate. But you've got an inside look at this. You've been with the state fair for a few years, the Waukesha County Fair for years before that. Has the food scene changed at our fairs?
Well, I think that it used to kind of be a joke that you wanted something on a stick because then you could walk around and continue eating it. But I think that our vendors have gotten creative in the way that they either make the food or the utensils that we're able to use now. Or now, you know, they have the little boats that they can put the food items in. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on a stick anymore. But I think that even, you know, I can remember hearing stories of my dad telling me going to the fair, you know, for them, they would show, but then state fair, he didn't show at state fair, but they would come, his grandfather would bring him along with his brothers and cousins. And it was after they worked on the farm all summer long, didn't receive a dime, but their big reward was he paid for them to go to the state fair. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of interesting that, you know, and he said it was to get all the treats. And of course, his grandfather let him have whatever they wanted to eat and they'd come home with tummy aches, which is funny. But I think we all get a little overindulgent at the fair because you don't get to eat this type of food all year round, or at least you shouldn't because it's not good for you. But it's good to come and partake, you know, this time out of the year. And plus 11 days of the summer, these are the 11 days that calories don't count.
Sherry, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Sherry Black is Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer of the Wisconsin State Fair. She talked with us about some of the new food options at this year's fair. It runs August 1st through the 11th in West Allis. The other day, I was looking at some news online. I saw the New York Times did a thing where they picked 22 of the best pizza places in the country. So I do like I always do when I see that kind of stuff. Scrolled through to see if there's any Wisconsin on the list.
Did Wisconsin have a place on the list, Rob?
It did not, oh. Lee. I'm not sure if I feel offended, though. I mean, we've got good pizza, but Wisconsin isn't known as like a rock star in the pizza world.
So let's crowdsource this. Do you have a favorite pizza place here in Wisconsin? Give it a shout out and tell us what it makes it special. Email wisconsintoday at WPR.org or call and leave a message at 888-642-0232.
Lee, what's your favorite topping combo on a pizza?
As long as there is crust, sauce, and cheese, I would eat broccoli, pineapple, or anchovies. recipes, Rob?
I did a massive U-turn on olives. Used to hate them, now love them on my pizza.
Perfect.
Again, share your favorite Wisconsin pizza. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. So we can give the New York Times a pizza our mind.
Oh! Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.